Hello and welcome to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. Each quarter, Simon Gergel, fund manager at the Merchants Trust, offers his thoughts on developments affecting the UK market and what it means for investors. In this edition, we'll look at what it actually means to be a value investor and how Simon uses this investment philosophy in the merchant's portfolio. Simon, welcome back.
Hello, John. So
first off, let's just get to the cut to the chase here. You class yourself as a value fund manager. Can you explain exactly what that means?
Yes, well, thanks. Essentially, a value investor is somebody who looks at tries to identify the fundamental value of an investment and tries to buy companies or assets when they're priced below that. And there's a lot of evidence that if you buy cheap shares, on average, over the long term, you can deliver better performance. And you might think everyone would do that. Wouldn't everyone buy companies when they're if they can buy them below what they think is the true price? But the other major style of investment might be called growth investing, where essentially you're trying to identify the best companies that you think can grow fastest. And you may not worry too much about the price you pay on the basis that if you pick the right companies over the long term, you can still make a very good return. And these two styles, classic styles, they're not really opposites, but they are quite different. We focus more on the value side, which doesn't mean we neglect the growth side. We do look at the growth of businesses and the fundamental quality, but we try and buy them only when they are trading below the fair value.
Okay, so how do you implement value investing then to the merchant's portfolio? You're looking for the good value. How do you define that? How do you understand it?
Yeah, there are two ways that it comes in, really. The first is we tend to buy high-yielding shares. As you know, Merchants Trust is delivering a high income. We've grown the dividend every year for 37 years. And one of the ways we do that is by buying companies with above average dividend yield. Those tend to be companies that are a bit cheaper than average. Dividend yield is actually a measure of value. So simply by buying high yielding shares, you are, to some extent, becoming a value investor. And there's a lot of evidence that high yielding shares, again, have performed better than average over the long term. The second more subtle way is within our investment process. When we look at an individual company, value is one of the three key pillars we look at. So the first thing we look at is the fundamentals of the business. How strong a business is this? How attractive is the industry it's in, and so on. The other thing we look at is structurally, how well is that company positioned? What's changing in the environment, either in the economic cycle or what's changing in that industry that gives that company a structural advantage? But the third thing, and really important, is valuation. How does the value of this company compare to where it's traded in the past? How does it compare to other companies in the sector? And how does it, most importantly of all, how does the valuation compare to all the other companies we could buy in the market? And we're looking to buy the cheaper companies, but still good businesses. I think if I had to look at one measure in particular, we focus on cash flow, because ultimately businesses are about generating cash. So we look more closely at cash flow than we do any other measure.
And where are you seeing the greater opportunities then for value investing? Which sectors appeal in particular at the moment?
Well, it's interesting because the stock market is pretty polarized. So there are several sectors that are quite highly priced and many sectors that are really quite cheap. So in terms of big sectors, a lot of the financial area is cheap, the real estate, tobacco is extremely cheap as a sector at the moment. But there's a couple of examples of sectors where we've got quite large positions, which is a blend of the fundamentals and the valuation. One of those is aerospace and defence. If you look at Boeing and Airbus, they've got long order books, new products coming through, new airlines, aircraft coming through. And the manufacturers of components and parts for those aircrafts are many of them some good British businesses making parts for those aircraft with long order books, and they're trading at sensible valuations. And they also supply into the defence industry, where defence budgets are growing again after many years of decline, particularly in America, where the defence budgets dominate the world defence. So that's an industry where you've got a supportive theme, if you like, supportive end markets, but also strong companies and sensible valuations. And another example might be construction, which is a bit more extreme, but we've had some very high-profile problems in the construction industry. That's led to capacity coming out. That's led to competition reducing. So the people who are left in there have a better environment in which to win contracts, better pricing perhaps. Construction, there's a huge demand both in the UK and abroad for infrastructure spending. So we've got companies in that sector making everything from cement and building materials and aggregates, components for doors and windows, to more standard construction type businesses. And they're all, the companies we've got are all really attractively priced with actually quite decent prospects, and not dependent on the UK economy to the extent you might think. Most of them actually have more in America than they do in the UK.
So they're exposed outside of the UK more widely.
Yes, I mean, one of the great things about the UK stock market, as we've discussed before, is that the vast majority of sales and profits come from abroad. And the stocks we own in the construction sector, I think almost all of them, if not all of them, have a bigger business in America than they do in the UK, which may be slightly counterintuitive.
Now, value investors talk often about recovery stocks. And what are they and how are they beneficial to the portfolio?
Well, it's a good question. A particular form of value investing is looking at recovery situations. So these are companies which have either had a temporary problem with a product or a customer that's got into trouble and had some temporary disruption, or perhaps a more serious problem. We had a house builder a few years ago that had a problem with quality, couldn't get enough staff, was growing too fast, and the costs went up, the profits came down, and they had a massive profit warning, and that had to be restructured. So companies where there's been some sort of issue, which have got into trouble, their share prices can, as you would expect, fall, and they can fall way far too far on a long-term basis. And very often the stock market is a bit black and white. Shares can over-discount the bad news. And so by looking at companies that have had problems where the share prices are low, you can sometimes find really genuinely good businesses or sound businesses trading well below their fundamental worth. So we look at companies where we believe the fundamentals are okay, but for some reason the shares are depressed because of short-term problems. And by taking a long-term view, which we can do in an investment trust, we can see that on a 2 to 3 year view, the business hopefully will recover. And you can make a lot of money as an investor by buying shares which are out of favour. So that's one type of value investing.
How rigorous is that assessment, Simon? Because you are looking at stocks there that are stressed or businesses that are encountering some form of difficulty. There's no guarantee that they'll recover from that. So you must be at some point making and taking a value judgment.
Oh, absolutely. Value investing is not just about looking at the price you're paying. It's about understanding the business and understanding the risks, and we don't, you know, as many investors, we won't get everything right. In the case of that house builder I was talking about, we were particularly supported in our view, if you like, by the fact they had a lot of land, and also they had one or two, they had two taker approaches for the businesses from other house builders who had looked at the value of the land. That gave us a lot of comfort that there was something very tangible underpinning the value of the business. And even if the management couldn't turn it around, and we thought they could, but even if they couldn't turn it around, there should be some tangible asset value there behind it, if you like, a fallback plan, a margin of safety. And that's quite important. But sometimes these situations can be quite high risk, and therefore you might have a relatively small part of the portfolio in that situation, even though the upside can be very significant.
I have to ask, did it turn out all right for the house builder in the end?
That one did. That one's been very successful, actually, yeah.
I'm very pleased to hear it. Now, would it be fair to say that that this approach works more and is better and more in tune with the long-term investor?
Absolutely. If you're taking a view that the market is pricing shares wrongly, the markets can stay irrational for longer than, you know, for a long time, as has been quoted elsewhere. And so you have to have patience and a rigorous process. And the good thing about investment trusts is they can take a long-term view. They do. I mean, Merchants Trust has been around for 130 years. And we can, with the board's support, take a very long-term view in our investment. And therefore, what might be a temporary disruption for a year or two, we can see through that. Whereas some investors, if all you care about is next quarter's profits, you might not be able to buy those companies because the next quarter might be worse than the last quarter.
So clearly, value investing is working well for the trust and something you strongly believe in. But it might be seen as a bit of out of favour at the moment elsewhere. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's a fair assessment?
It's definitely a fair assessment. Value has had a very difficult period in the last few years, possibly because of low interest rates, because the economies haven't really grown very fast.
And so you're taking quite a contrarian view with this, then?
You are, but the good thing is that the valuations have got really stretched, really polarised. So if you look at how much you pay for a quality company, and quality for these purposes can be defined as a company that makes a high return on capital and less volatile earnings. So you might think of a food producer or a beverage company where relatively stable business, high returns. The valuations of quality companies on average are about 40% above the long-term average, according to Morgan Stanley, across Europe. And that is where we were roughly in the telecom, media and technology bubble in the late 90s. It's really unusual. And it does mean that the rest of the market offers some significant bargains. And it's hard to know when that changes. But historically, that's really unusual, and so we see good opportunities. And we just come back to fundamentals. We can buy sound businesses at sensible prices, paying a good dividend yield. We're pretty confident we can make a high income and a good return from those companies. And if that means that I don't have businesses on a really high valuation, well, so be it. That's fine. We can take a very differentiated view to the market. We are active managers. We're being paid to take those decisions to really reflect, look for that value, and not be carried away in short-term market sentiment.
And of course, Simon, the fact that you are a value fund manager, that the philosophy of the fund is this, is largely, of course, because you're an active manager yourself.
Yes, we are active investors. Allianz Global Investors, that I work for, we are focused totally on active management, i.e. taking views. And that's not just about picking stocks and taking strong views within the portfolio. It's also about actively engaging with companies from a stewardship point of view, to the point where we will challenge management, challenge the boards, question certain areas, make sure that they are pursuing sensible strategies from an environmental point of view, a social point of view, and so on. And if necessary, disengaging, selling our shares if we're not convinced that the company is doing the right thing. And you can only really do that if you're an active manager. And I think also the opportunities for active managers are getting greater because more of the market is moving passive, and therefore there are fewer people taking different views. And that means the opportunities can be bigger than they have been historically.
So to sum up, Simon, where do you see the current value opportunities in markets, and also where are the threats?
Well, I talked about some of those sector earlier. I think the financial sector has life insurance is really interesting. Real estate is interesting. Tobacco, talked about a couple of other sectors. The threats, there are two types of threats. I think there's the macro threat and the micro level. At the macro level, what's going to happen to the economy? There are risks that the economy slows down, possibly a risk of recession. We've got trade wars between US and China and now possibly Mexico as well. That raises the risk to the global economy. We've had a very long recovery. And therefore, if the economy slows down, that could affect many businesses. And Brexit is another risk in the UK. So there is a chance of a disruption. And the way we deal with that is by firstly having a diversification across the fund. We're not having all of our eggs in one basket. We have very international exposure, but also within financials, say we have less in banks. We've got a relatively small position in banks, balanced by our larger position in life insurance. So we're not taking a massive view on a strong economy, for example. At the micro level, which is about individual stocks, it's about understanding the risks to that industry and that business. And some of these are long-term structural risks. And where the risks are higher, actually generally having a smaller position, a more modest exposure, so that if you get it wrong, it's not going to damage the portfolio too much. But equally, where you've got confidence in that opportunity and the valuations are cheap, we'll have a bigger position. So it's about portfolio construction and balance. And we like to buy companies that are cheap, but it's not cheap, not without reference to the quality of the business and the underlying fundamentals.
Simon, it's a fascinating subject, but we're out of time. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for listening to A Value View from the Merchants Trust, where quarterly we bring you topical news affecting UK equity markets. And you can find out more about the Merchants Trust by going to merchantstrust.co.uk.